Hey, that has nothing to do with anything. What's up, guys? It's Chip and Eric reading
And
through the Bible with
friends.
friends, and our friends are Allison and other friends that we have.
Yeah.
That's the name of the podcast.
That is. That's the one.
Chip and Eric reading through the Bible with friends, and our friends are Allison and other friends that we have.
That's it. That's the name of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, I hope you guys rested up after yesterday. That was a longish episode because we had that big winner, Dwayne The Rock Johnson Wolgamuth won.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Dwayne The Rock.
Yeah. Johnson Wolgamuth.
Well,
Yeah. Anyway, Alice and I were just talking about something crazy that we should do, and we don't know if we're going to do it yet, but just know that there's a very crazy idea bubbling under the surface of Chip and Eric right
it's
now.
Bubbling.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling.
It was,
yeah, it'd
Chip
be cool.
Was it Chip who started it?
No. I've said that before. I've said that idea before.
You have?
Yes. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll need helpers, that's for sure.
Yeah, pretty much if you're listening to this right now, you're involved.
You're involved.
You are. Yes.
There's no way out. Speaking of involved, today's day 136, and we're reading Proverbs 28 and 29 and 1 Corinthians 8.
Proverbs 28:1 is my life verse, so let's do it. The wicked run away when no one's chasing them. That's my life verse. I never run. Chip's life verse, too, because he runs all the time. Wicked Chip. Very wicked of you, Chip. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. When there is moral rot within a nation, its government topples easily. But wise and knowledgeable leaders bring stability. A poor person who oppresses the poor is like a pounding rain that destroys the crops. To reject the law is to praise the wicked. To obey the law is to fight them. Evil people don't understand justice, but those who follow the Lord understand completely. Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and rich. Young people who obey the law are wise. Those with wild friends bring shame to their parents. Income from charging high interest rates will end up in the pocket of someone who is kind to the poor. God detests the prayers of a person who ignores the law. Those who lead good people along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the honest will inherit good things. Rich people may think they are wise, but a poor person with discernment can see right through them. While the godly succeed, everyone is glad. When the wicked take charge, people go into hiding. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Blessed are those who fear to do wrong, but the stubborn are headed for serious trouble. A wicked ruler is as dangerous to the poor as a roaring lion or an attacking bear. A ruler with no understanding will oppress his people, but one who hates corruption will have a long life. A murderer's tormented conscience will drive him into the grave. Don't protect him. The blameless will be rescued from harm, but the crooked will be suddenly destroyed. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. The trustworthy person will get a reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. Showing partiality is never good, yet some will do wrong for a mere piece of bread. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but they don't realize they're headed for poverty. In the end, people appreciate honest criticism more than flattery. Anyone who steals from his father and mother and says, "What's wrong with that?" is no better than a murderer. Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. Whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. When the wicked take charge, people go into hiding. When the wicked meet disaster, the godly flourish.
Proverbs chapter 29. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be destroyed beyond recovery. When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in power, they groan. The man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but if he hangs around with prostitutes, his wealth is wasted. A just king gives stability to his nation, but one who demands bribes destroys it. To flatter friends is to lay a trap for their feet. Evil people are trapped by sin, but the righteous escape, shouting for joy. The godly care about the rights of the poor, and the wicked don't care at all. Mockers can get a whole town agitated, but the wise will calm anger. If a wise person takes a fool to court, there will be a ranting and ridicule, but no satisfaction. The bloodthirsty hate blameless people, but the upright seek to help them. Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. If a ruler pays attention to liars, all his advisors will be wicked. The poor and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives sight to the eyes of both. If a king judges the poor fairly, his throne will last forever. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. When the wicked are in authority, sin flourishes, but the godly will live to see their downfall. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. Words alone will not discipline a servant, The words may be understood, but they are not heeded. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. A servant pampered from childhood will become a rebel. An angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. If you assist a thief, you only hurt yourself. You are sworn to tell the truth, but you dare not testify. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice comes from the Lord. The righteous despise the unjust. The wicked despise the godly.
Okay.
Is that it? Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 8. Food sacrificed to idols. Now, regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So, what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god and that there is only one God. There may be so-called gods both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many gods and many lords, but for us, there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as the worship of real gods, and their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, and we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you, with your superior knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weaker believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble.
And that is our reading today.
Today.
I was wanting you to go a third down. You got there. It just took you a few steps.
Well, a few steps. Hey, we read that with two questions in mind. How does it help me love God more? How does it help me love others more? So, Allison, how does this help you love?
Others. Just this last section about we don't want to cause another believer to stumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And we can kind of get caught up in our, well, that's okay to do, and that's okay to do, and this isn't a big deal. And but you got to think about someone else and where are they? Where are they in their their growth? Spiritually, I'm sorry. He is so distracting.
I have ADHD. I have to fidget.
Where are they in their walk, and what can they handle, and what can they not handle? There are things that are great for me to stay away from because it's not. It's mainly because it opens a door to other things that I shouldn't do, right?
Sure.
So, but that's not going to be the same as you necessarily, or someone else, or someone else. So we have to, be conscious of and aware of not getting in the way of someone else's growth and causing them to stumble in ways that they might struggle. That's
yes.
So important. And it's not as easy as saying, well, but this is okay to do. Mm-hmm. Because it may not be okay for that person. It just may not.
I do think there's another layer, though. You know, as a person with tattoos, I've had a lot of this conversation. And as a person who, I enjoy alcohol. I don't drink it now because I'm contracted not to. And I kind of quit drinking anyway before that for, like, fitness reasons more than anything. Look, you should not flaunt your freedoms.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't just say, like, oh, well, cool, whatever. But there is something to, like, he's talking about young believers who don't fully conceive of their faith, mm-hmm. right? Like, they're still thinking of these idols as, like, gods, mm-hmm. is what he says. Helping people grow into acceptance of our freedom is a good thing. It's just what you can't do is force the door open by just, this is what I do. This
right.
is what, you know? So I just think, like, this weaker brother concept, no one out there, it says weaker believer in here, but I think in the footnotes, yeah, it does. It says brother. No one out there is like, I'm the weaker brother and I'm good with that. Like, at least you shouldn't be. And most of the time when I hear the weaker brother invoked, it's by people who are legalists. Mm-hmm. Saying, well, you know, for me, it's just, it violates my conscience that we would do that. And so, like, great, for instance, the whole tattoo thing. You know, I have visible tattoos that I cover for work, but that's less about this and more about professionalism. But I did have someone ask me once, how can you call yourself a Christian and be a pastor if you have tattoos? Right? And they were not coming to me from a weaker brother standpoint. That's not the way a weaker brother phrases things. They were being pharisaical, right? And so, like, being able to tell the difference between the two is really, really important with how you handle this, because you don't want people to dictate the entire expression of the church based on legalism by claiming that they're the weaker brother. You know what I'm saying? So, like, what if I said to you, it really bothers me that you wear long pants to church instead of a dress every week. Mm. Like, it really violates my conscience. Mm. The response of the church should be, let me help you see why you're wrong about that and help you grow out of that belief so that you can accept that women can wear long pants and not just a dress.
Yeah, I think what I'm thinking of is, like, when you have areas of your life that you genuinely know can lead you into sin.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
for example,
sure.
I've made no secret. I had a very colorful college career. So, like, alcohol for me is a tricky little thing. Mm-hmm. It's something it's something I'm fine with, but I also have to kind of, there are boundaries that I have to set around mm-hmm. that, just because not that I at this point in my life, I'm boring and 43. I don't think I would struggle with it is what I'm saying. But it's just kind of something where I'm like, well, it's what I'm comfortable with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And so I think that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I don't look at myself as weaker necessarily. And so maybe that's not a different, that maybe
no,
that's a
simple. It seems simple. Like what's happened is you've set up important spiritual boundaries. Not that you believe that drinking alcohol is wrong.
Right, no.
So you're not the weaker brother.
No.
And if you said, well, you know, alcohol can lead to a lot of different sins, so I'm going to need all of you to not drink around me.
Right. No, no,
that
no.
That would be the weaker brother, like claiming the weaker brother, but really just being a Pharisee. But what you've done is you've developed the spiritual depth and maturity enough to say, I know the boundaries I need to follow. That's
so,
not the same.
So I guess what I'm questioning is, are you saying that the weaker brother, to be the weaker brother means that you believe it's a sin. Something is a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
not you believe this could bring you down a wrong path.
No, okay, maybe not even that something is a sin, but like you don't have a full comprehension of it. Like these believers, let's go back to the passage, believe that eating meat offered to idols was worshiping the idols.
Uh-huh, right.
And so for a weaker brother, they may not even understand that drunkenness is wrong. Right. And so if you drink in front of them, then they're going to drink and then it's like whatever, like
right.
things will go nuts. Right. So it's really hard to equate because eating meat offers to idols is such a foreign thing to us. It was an act of worship. Acts 15 prohibits it because so many Gentiles considered it an act of worship. Right. Acts 15 is that big council where they were trying to decide, you know, what do Gentiles need to follow? What don't they need to follow? And then we have Paul here saying, okay, like you don't necessarily, it's not necessarily that you can't eat meat offered to idols. It's just if you're doing it as an act of worship, then it's wrong. And so you who are mature and understand you're not worshiping idols, you're just getting free food. Like it may be good for you, but if a younger believer sees you and thinks that you're worshiping an idol and that that makes it okay, and then they fall into sin, then there's an issue. Does that make sense?
It's taking me a second, but yeah.
So I guess all I'm saying is it is okay to be the weaker brother today. No one should be content with being the weaker brother. Like, we all should be growing constantly, right? Like, that's the thing. And so if you want to express your religious freedom, your freedom to drink alcohol, which is totally foreign to the New Testament, no one was against that, right? Like, that's something that came, that's really an American thing that came out of Prohibition. Or even before that, maybe the Puritans, right? Like, but, like, if you're a Christian who wants to enjoy that freedom around other people, then it's your responsibility to help those people grow into an understanding of how to drink responsibly and not be drunk, but you know what I'm saying, like how to do it and set up boundaries like Allison has. You know, I have boundaries too, and then grow into that instead of just showing up and being like, well, I'm free to do this and I'm going to do it right here, right now. And then they end up doing it, and they do it in a sinful way because they don't understand the righteous way because they're young believers, and they don't get the boundary because no one ever explained it to them, right? And then the third party is the Pharisee, who says, well, what about the weaker brother, you know, and says it in the way, like, I'm the weaker brother and because I don't want you to do that, right? That's totally different than, you know, and then there's, of course, being above reproach and stuff. Great, for instance, Harvest Church. They have no problem with me drinking. They have no problem with Hannah drinking. They have a big problem if I or Hannah or anyone else drinks at Harvest Church events, right? Because of the message that it conveys about being above reproach, right? So we don't want to cause weaker brothers to stumble, and we don't necessarily know who those people are. So that's why we have that policy in place. But anyway, so we've gone on and on about this, and I think that there's a lot more that could probably be said. I hope it's very clear that I'm not saying weaker brothers are bad people. I'm saying that they need to grow. That's the whole point. Like, no one should be content being the weaker brother.
Okay.
Right? No one should be content there. You should grow. If you look at somebody and think something is wrong just because you think it's wrong, you should grow. Unless the Bible says, hey, that's wrong. So, like, the weaker brother is not... If you think that marital fidelity is the right thing to do, that doesn't make you the weaker brother. That's prescribed by Scripture.
But I also think it's important to note that it's okay to know that you have places where you might have a weakness.
Totally.
And to be careful when protect those places.
That's
a different,
that's maturity.
You don't want to use that to bring someone else down, or call out someone else,
or confine other people into what
but
what you're describing is maturity. It's mature that you have boundaries. That's spiritual maturity. You have an understanding of self, of your struggles, your personal history, your unique experiences, and whatever sin issues you have or have had. That's maturity, to set up boundaries there and say, it's like when God says to Cain, hey, sin is crouching at the door. If you don't subdue it, it will overtake you. That is subduing sin. That's maturity. Like, that's a good thing. I don't want anyone to mishear that having boundaries is weak. It's not weak. That's the whole point. I mean, you know, the idea here was that they could eat this meat but not worship the idol. That's a boundary in and of itself, right? Drinking alcohol, you can enjoy an alcoholic beverage but not be drunk. That's a boundary in and of itself. Right, and for you, you've maybe built in some other boundaries that kind of square that out for you a little bit more. But, you know, so, like, I mean, maybe a person struggles with lust or pornography or adultery, or, you know, like not just lust, like thinking about people, but like checking people out. Maybe there's people that you don't need to go see in movies, you know, or movies that you don't need to go see that, yeah, there's no nudity, but there's provocative stuff that you know is going to, for lack of a better word, trigger out that sin in your life. You need to set up a personal boundary for you. But for another person who's not struggling with that at all, for you to say, well, you know, you really shouldn't see a movie with this person in it because, you know, they're very attractive and you might lust. That's legalistic. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't show a movie to that person at like at you know, some sort of event or if they came over or something, because you would know that that would cause them to stumble. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? I'm trying to like find other things to talk about besides alcohol and idols. Like there's other pieces here too. So that's good conversation.
Yeah, except now you have to answer, how does this help us love God more?
I don't.
Okay, never mind.
Hey, John says it. If we, John, 1 John 4, if we can't love our brothers and sisters who are made in God's image, how can we say that we love God? And I just think that, you know, what we just talked about, like this whole thing, help people grow, but that doesn't mean that you get to like just use a hammer on their mm-hmm. conscience and try to smash them into like the square peg through a round hole because you want to be able to behave a certain way. It's just mm-hmm. not how it works, right? So help people grow, love them enough to help them grow. It's an act of worship because what you're doing is you're creating disciples, mm-hmm. you know, helping people understand who they are in Christ and enjoying their freedom without sinning. Like that is a huge part of being a disciple, is like, this is what I'm free to do without mm-hmm. crossing the lines into sin. So you're helping people there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was probably confusing. Sorry. We'd really do it. I mean, we listen, it's all off the cuff, right? So
it's all we can do.
Yeah. This pencil is my new favorite toy.
Oh my gosh.
Look at it. It's so cool.
He has a pencil with a boutonniere pin.
It's a mechanical
pencil.
With a
pearl end stuck through a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, and now when I click the pencil, the pearl comes out.
Which is not helpful to anybody.
It is. Nope. Watch.
Oh, yay! Now I have a pearl. That's
no,
on the end of
the pin.
No, it's...
It's the